So welcome to the Bayview United Church conference call worship service for Sunday, June the 7th. Welcome to Bayview United Church's conference call worship service for Sunday, June the 7th. Cindy, you may now begin.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining. This is our 13th Zoom audio worship service, and it's our very first Zoom video service, and it was wonderful to see so many of you and to hear your voices. It is just a joy, actually, just to be together and to just share in this time of worship together. So it's nice to be able to put a face to some of you again and just have that opportunity to share in each other. I hope you don't notice that I put on a little bit of weight and, well, the hair, we won't comment. But it is a special service today. We're going to be welcoming the children and youth and teachers a little bit later at the end of the service, just to have an opportunity to share with them. They've been doing some Zoom video classes over the past several weeks, and we'll be able to hear some of what they've been doing and some of what they are hoping to maybe do over the summer. So it's great to be able to share with them, and then after the service. They're going to be having a Zoom pizza lunch together. So it's a great day for our young people to be with us as well today. Also, I just want to thank all of you who have been supporting the church financially over these last several months. We thank you for sending in checks to help us with our costs. Some are on par and some are using Canada Help. So it's great that you're able to support us in this way, and also to remember about the Mission and Service Fund so that we can be able to support our wider church as well. I also invite you to always take time, if you have during the week, just to call someone, maybe someone you saw today or heard today, and would like to just check in on how they're doing. It always just brightens us up when we hear from someone from the church community, and it just brings us all together. And I always welcome if you want to call or email. It's wonderful to hear from you and be able to share a bit about what's happening in your lives as well. I want to thank everyone who's participating in our service today. Karen, as always, as our wonderful music director, and then our soloists, Penny and Lauren, are going to be singing our hymns, and Lauren's going to be singing an anthem song a little bit later in the service. Want to thank John Brooker, who will be reading our scripture, and of course, thanks to Brian Kai for hosting us, and to Ron Bluer and John Brooker, and all the tech team for all their help and support in getting us all going on Zoom audio and video. I also heard from another bird that tweeted me to say that Janice celebrated her birthday on June the 3rd. And I didn't see Janice, but I hope Janice is there. But I'm going to invite Karen if she'll play Happy Birthday to Janice. Janice, I hope you heard us all singing happy birthday to you, and hope that you have a wonderful year ahead filled with lots of joy and many blessings. So please feel free, as always, if you would like to email or call Kaz or Brian, myself, or Carol, just to let us know how the service went for you, if you were able to connect okay, or if you had troubles, so that we can help you get online or call a little bit easier. So please feel free to do that. If you have an order of service, I invite you to follow along. You're welcome to join in the prayers if you have the service, or sing the hymns, as you are all muted. So that would be wonderful to have you joining in, and our soloists will be singing the hymns so that we can hear them as well. So let's just take a moment as we prepare our hearts for a time of worship. So in the name of the Creator God, whose love birthed the world, bringing light out of darkness and life out of emptiness. In the name of Jesus, who lived with love and justice, compassion and generosity. In the name of the Spirit, breath of life, wind of change, prophetic voice and inner prompting, we gather to worship one God in three persons, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Let us unite our hearts in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Mighty God, whose mystery exceeds our understanding, yet defines our meaning, whose power incites revolution, yet inspires resolution, whose Spirit brought all things into being and gives us life, thank you for being everything we need. For a world teeming with love, light, and laughter, we lift our hearts in praise. Amen. Penny will now lead us in singing our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy work shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Thank you, Penny. That was lovely. Let us continue in prayer as we join in a prayer for grace. Let us pray. God in three persons, we come seeking your grace and presence. We seek the warmth of your love, the flame of your hope, and the spark of your life. Draw us close. Ignite your holy possibility in each of us individually and as community, so that we may live as you intended. Amen. God gives us the courage, strength, and wisdom to live with confidence each day. So thanks be to God. John is now going to read our scripture reading, followed by Lauren singing, "Let There Be Peace on Earth."
The Hebrew scripture is Genesis chapter 1, 1 to 2, and 22 to 4a. The story of creation. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let the water be filled with many kinds of living beings, and let the air be filled with birds." So God created the great sea monsters, all kinds of creatures that live in the water, and all kinds of birds, and God was pleased with what he saw. He blessed them all and told the creatures that live in the water to reproduce and to fill the sea, and he told the birds to increase in number. Evening passed and morning came. That was the fifth day. Then God commanded, "Let the earth produce all kinds of animal life, domestic and wild, large and small," and it was done. So God made them all, and he was pleased with what he saw. Then God said, "And now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us. They will have power over the fish and birds and all animals, domestic and wild, large and small." So God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them, male and female, blessed them and said, "Have many children, so that our descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I am putting you in charge of the fish, the birds, and all the wild animals. I have provided all kinds of grain and all kinds of fruit for you to eat. But for all the wild animals and for all the birds, I have provided grass and leafy plants for food." And it was done. God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased. Evening passed and morning came. That was the sixth day. And so the whole universe was completed. By the seventh day, God finished what he had been doing and stopped working. He blessed the seventh day and set it apart as a special day, because by that day he had completed his creation and stopped working. And that is how the universe was created. And the epistle lesson is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Agree with one another and live in peace. And now, my friends, goodbye. Strive for perfection. Listen to my appeals. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with the kiss of peace. All of God's people send you their greetings. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May God's blessing be added to these readings.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God our Creator, children all are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow, to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.
Thank you, Lauren. That was just what we need right now in our world, and you sang it so beautifully. So thank you for sharing that gift of a song that can bring us a sense of peace in our lives. Several centuries ago, the Pope decided that the Jewish people should leave the Vatican. Naturally, there was a big uproar by the Jewish people, and the Pope agreed that they could have a debate, that they could choose one person to debate the Pope, and if the Jewish people won, they could stay, and if the Pope won, then the people would have to leave the Vatican. Knowing that they had a choice, the Jewish people chose one of their most respected rabbis, Rabbi Mushi. His Latin wasn't very good, so they decided that they would have a silent debate between the two of them. So on this day, the Pope sat facing the rabbi. The first thing the Pope did was hold up three fingers. And the rabbi looked at him and responded by holding up one finger. Then the Pope circled his hand above his head. And the rabbi looked down and pointed at the ground. Then the Pope took out some bread and a cup of wine. And the rabbi took out an apple. The Pope stood up and said, "I give up. This man is too good. The Jewish people can stay." The cardinals were puzzled and wondered what had happened. So the Pope explained that first he held up three fingers to represent the Trinity. And the rabbi pointed up one finger to say there is one God between us. Then I swung my hands around my head to say that all of us are God's people. And the rabbi pointed and said, "No," didn't say no. And when he showed the wine and the cup to the rabbi, he was talking about God's forgiveness and love. And so the Pope said he had an answer for everything. And then the people gathered round the rabbi and they said, "Well, what did the Pope say?" And the rabbi said, "Well, when the Pope held up three fingers, it meant that they had 3 days in which to leave. And I held up one finger to say, no way." And then when he put his hand around his head, saying that the whole city would be evacuated of the Jewish people, I said, "No," and I pointed down, "We're staying right here." And then what happened, the people said. Well, the Pope took out his lunch, and I took out mine. How often, when we hear stories or hear different things, that we don't always understand what the person is saying or communicating with us, and so we don't often check to find out what is really being asked or wanted of us. In 1997, a 14-year-old named Nathan won a school science fair in Idaho. And he made a presentation that said that he was showing the people that it's so easy to tell people or to convince people about something that may not even be good for them. And so he told the people that, "I want you to sign this petition. I'm demanding that we have strict control over the elimination of a chemical called dehydrogen monoxide." And he gave them 7 reasons why they should ban this deadly chemical. He said it causes excess sweating and vomiting. It's a major component in acid rain. It can cause severe burns and give out gaseous state. It can accidentally, if you inhale it, it can kill you. It can contribute to the erosion of the land. It can decrease the effectiveness of brakes on a car. And it can also be found in cancerous tumors. So Nathan then asked 50 people, do they support the ban of this chemical? 43 people said yes. 6 people said they didn't know. And one person knew that the dangerous chemical, dehydrogen monoxide, is water. I think the illustration is trying to encourage us to look deeper. Often, we just look at the surface level. We believe what people are saying to us. And when we have all this internet technology and we can look at and get all this information, we often just believe everything that is being told to us. And yet we need to take time to really understand what these internet or people are saying to us so that we truly know if we agree or disagree. There's the students of Zen Buddhism, and they are given cones, K-O-A-N-S. And the cone is it's a riddle or it's a puzzle. It's meant to enable the person who is meditating to go to a very deep level, to really seek to understand the meaning of different questions around them. And so often the Zen masters would give their students these cones to try and get them to go deeper in their meditation, to really see the true meaning of what is being said to them. One of the examples that they have often used is that two hands clapping, there is sound. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Another question they give is, what is your original face before your mother and father were born? These cones, these questions are meant to really frustrate the logical mind so that the mind goes to a much deeper understanding of what is being said to them so that they can really understand the meaning. When we look at the first chapter of Genesis, it was written in the 6th century BC at a time when the Hebrew people had been taken captive by the Babylonians. They had left their homeland, and the people were there captive and feeling isolated. And so the priests and the prophets decided that they needed to continue to teach the people about their faith, about their God. And so they decided to write it down so that the people could hear and learn about their God and the faith that their God had. They wanted them to know the tradition and to have a closer relationship with their God when they were with a people who didn't have that opportunity. They saw there were gods of war. They believed in gods of battling for supremacy as the Babylonians. And so the prophets and the priests wanted to help the people to really see that their Hebrew God was a supreme God who was seeking to bring a sense of God's love to the people. And so they began with the story of creation to enable them to see how God created the water, the air, the sky, the land, to see how God created the animals, the trees, the birds, the fish, and human beings, light and darkness. God created this and deemed it all good as they heard the story of creation. And what was really significant was that in each of these times of creating and seeing that it was good, that God included an opportunity for darkness, that the day began with darkness and ended with darkness, which meant that there was a time of rest at the beginning of the day, and then they would work in the light, and then in the evening in the darkness, they would rest again. And then on the seventh day, God rested and created the Sabbath day. So what was so significant to the people was that this God was wanting them to take time to rest, relax, and reflect and rejuvenate for the next day. And that is the opportunity that the Sabbath day gives us, that time of rest and relaxation. So the priest was encouraging the people, the Hebrew people, to learn the Jewish tradition, to see that creation wasn't just one time, but that it was ongoing and that it was an opportunity to see that God was still active in the world and to give them a sense of hope that things would get better if they trust and be at one with God. And so that leads us to the importance of the Trinity and that sense that the Trinity is not explaining God, but it's rather helping us to know who God is. And the Trinity, actually, the Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, the word, but Pope John the 22nd in 1334, he decreed that the Sunday after Pentecost would be Trinity Sunday. And Trinity is that opportunity for us to know God. And Trinity, tri, means three, and unity is that sense of oneness. So Trinity is helping us to see that three in one, that God is with us to be that support in our lives. And so God is seen to us through God the Creator, through Jesus, who is that sustainer of love and teacher, and through the Holy Spirit who comforts and guides us. And it is that Spirit that we heard was part of the brooding over the water from the beginning of creation, that the Spirit was with us through God. And so Genesis is enabling us to see how we are connected to the Trinity, bringing that sense of understanding, seeing that we are made in the image of God. And when we see that we're made in the image of God, we can begin to recognize that we are all God's children. And when we look at one another, we see God. And so we are to seek that love for one another, to see that peace and joy that comes when we look in the eyes of another, and not to see difference, but to see oneness, that we are all God's children. Bishop Michael Curry, an Episcopal Church bishop in Washington's National Cathedral, had a sermon talking about that whole gift of the Spirit and what was happening in our world today. And he said that we're in the middle of not only a viral pandemic with the COVID-19, but we're also part of a spiritual pandemic. Our world is being called to see and deal with the injustices of racism, the inequality that is expressed to Black Americans. These pandemics are virtually shutting down our world and enabling us to take time to really evaluate who we are and what this means in our lives. It's an opportunity to look at our climate and see that the climate is changing and that we have an opportunity to make change. And so Bishop Curry was really communicating that the community needs to take time. We've been given this time, and it's an opportunity to make change in our world, in Canada and around the world. He was calling the killing of George Floyd a violation of human decency and dignity that has caused a lot of pain in the world right now. And he told about his father being a bishop in the Episcopal Church in Buffalo during the 1960s riots. And his father was called to do training, sensitive training to the police in the 1960s in Buffalo. And he reflected on that is exactly what we are needing today, all these years later. Things have not changed. He reflected on the fact that his father taught him when he learned to drive a car that he was stopped by the police, he must obey them, that he must not do or say anything that would irate them, and to make sure that they could always see his hands. And that is the same thing that he said that people are having to teach their children today. Things haven't changed. That's why the people are so frustrated that this has been going on for all these decades and centuries. And so the people have come out to speak out against this racism and focusing on seeking change. And he says, Bishop Curry, that the only way to do this, the only way for this change to happen is with love. That love is the way. When we see that each person is made in the image of God, then how can we treat each other as not being human and not having dignity? That then we are called to respect and care for one another. And it is this outcry that we are seeing today of people needing to treat each other with that love and care and respect. And he talked a little bit about the mask that we are being asked to wear right now. And the mask we are wearing is not to protect ourselves, it's but to protect the other person. And so when we seek to do that, when we see that we wear something to protect another person and they wear the mask to protect us, then we are seeking that sense of identity, of coming together as one. And we see that there is a miracle of life, that we want to protect each other. And that is the gift of God's love in our lives, of wanting to truly respect and care for each other, because we are all made in the image of God and we are all one. And when we can see that in our lives, we are living out the Trinity. The Trinity just reminds us that we are called to love and respect each other and to see that gift of creation in our lives, and that we need to care for all of God's creation, all God's people, and all God's land and animals, so that together we can live as God's people of love. So let us now join in our next hymn. Lauren is going to lead us in singing our hymn, Praise with Joy the World's Creator.
Praise with joy the world's creator, God of justice, love, and peace, source and end of human knowledge, God whose grace shall never cease. Celebrate the Maker's glory, power to rescue and release. Praise the Spirit sent among us, liberating truth from pride, forging bonds where race or gender, age or nation dare divide. Celebrate the Spirit's treasure, foolishness none dare deride.
Thank you, Lauren. I invite us now to join in our prayers of the people. Let us unite our hearts in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you are the source of our light, love, and life. We thank you for creating the earth and for moving around and within us. We thank you for coming to be with us through Jesus, who taught us unconditional love and grace. We thank you for your Spirit that comforts and guides us through all of life's ups and downs. God in three persons, thank you for gifting us with the roots and wings, the stability and vision, as well as the breath of life that creates unity and balance within and around us. God, our world needs you more than ever. We need to learn to care for your creation, to care for each other, and to treat one another with justice and compassionate love. We need your help to guide us to become one, so that we may live and breathe as your children. Help us to listen, to hear, and to respond to the needs of our sisters and brothers, for we are all your children. O God, our hearts are heavy as we pray for you to us today. We are in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Help us to remember to be diligent in keeping our physical distancing, wearing our masks and washing our hands to protect ourselves and the people around us. We continue to shout out our gratitude to the medical caregivers, scientists, frontline workers who are seeking to care for us and all those who are seeking to find a vaccine. We pray for the continued awakening of the world to deal with the systematic causes of racism, injustice, inequality, inequity. We must all be part of the revolution of change in Canada, the US, and around the world. Let us pray that the tides that are beginning will really lead to a fundamental change in our world, so that there will be hope for a new future where we are all united as one. We are all your children and must be treated with care and respect as all people. We hold our hearts, those who are in need of your comfort and your healing this day. We especially hold Irene Kagawa and her family in our hearts as they are grieving the passing of Irene's sister, Nora Sasaki, on June the 5th. May they feel comfort in knowing that she is at peace in your arms, loving God. And now, O God, we hold in our hearts and lift up to you those in our circle of family and friends and community in need of your blessing. Hear now our silent prayers. God, we thank you for your love and care in our lives. Continue to be our spirit of hope and light that can never be extinguished. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who gave us the Lord's Prayer to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Penny will now lead us in singing our next hymn, One More Step Along the World I Go.
One more step along the world I go. One more step along the world I go. From the old things to the new. Keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me traveling along with you. Give me courage when the world is rough. Keep me loving though the world is tough. Leap and sing in all I do. Keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me traveling along with you.
Thank you, Penny. And I hope that we will keep traveling from the old to the new. I hope that during the service you've been able to feel a little closer connection to the Trinity of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, June 14th, we will be celebrating the 95th anniversary of our United Church of Canada, as well as the Sacrament of Communion. So I invite you, if you are able, to bring to the service a piece of bread or cracker or cookie or rice and a beverage, and together we will share the Lord's Supper. You can even take a picture of your Lord's Supper, and we can place that in the newsletter if you would like to do that. So as you go into the week ahead, I pray that God's courage and strength, Jesus' unconditional comfort and love, and the Spirit's wisdom and joy will uplift you and fulfill you each and every day. And may you rejoice that God is always with you. You are never alone. Thanks be to God. And as you go, please remember that may God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in God, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of God's hand. Karen will now play a musical selection, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ, and afterwards we'll share a time with our young people together. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. It is a joy to welcome our children, youth, and teachers and helpers to our service. This is an opportunity for to thank our teachers for all that they have done over the past year. We thank Christine Takasaki for teaching the nursery class with Teresa Takasaki for helping to fill in, and also Brian Kagawa for helping out. And we thank our school-age teachers, Amy Hanada Nagahara, Ruth Graham, and Carol McLean, and our youth leader, Jessica Yuan. And we also thank our music director, Lois Fuse. So thank you for your commitment and your teaching of our children over the past year, and to help them in their faith development. It's great to have our children and youth with us. We have missed you, and we hope that you are all doing okay. Our church is not the same without all of you. We miss the joy, the energy, and the spontaneity and creativity that you bring to our service, especially when I ask you those thought-provoking questions. Some of you have been meeting over the last several weeks with the Zoom church, and a few of you now are going to share some of what you were doing in those classes, as well as how you're doing, and maybe even some plans for the summer. So Alexandra Graham, she's going to start, then Kelly Sumia, and then Timothy Takasaki, and then Kennedy Little will share with us. So over to you, Alexandra.
It's definitely been a different few months. I've gotten used to online school and seeing friends over Zoom and FaceTime. I've also been baking, sewing, and going on lots of bike rides. I've also been doing some crafts like origami. This is called the Revealed Flower, and they're really fun to make. Each Sunday after church, we have been having Zoom Sunday School. It's different, but I love seeing everyone. One of my favorite games was Pictionary. So we play this by using screen share, and then somebody will draw an image, and we all have to guess what it was. I hope everyone stays well and has a nice summer.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Lately, we have been doing Kahoot for Sunday School. If you don't know what Kahoot is, it is an online trivia game site, which we have been using to learn more about the Bible. In addition, personally, I have been learning how to do new things, such as using a saw to cut wood to build an arbor for my grandma, and learning how to play Scrabble.
My main comment is that COVID-19 is very boring. It has definitely been different with doing everything over online, but I've been doing a lot of stuff to pass the time. Like our family has decided to take out fence that's in our backyard and replace it. Also, closer to the start of March break, I made a digital escape room where you have to escape a zombie horde.
Hi everyone. So during this quarantine, I've been continuing my education. I am in grade 11 right now, so continuing in bio, chem, all that fun stuff, and it's been pretty difficult to have classes online. But my teachers are all figuring it out, so that's great. in my free time, although I've been volunteering with my church camp, Karen, Presbyterian Camps, and they've been running online activities for kids. So this ranges from social lunches, which I've led a couple. We do yoga. There's like trivia every week. So I'll volunteer for a couple of those activities. And this summer, I was supposed to go for 2 months and stay up there the entire time and counsel. But sadly, that's no longer going to be able to happen. So my camp has actually organized an online camp, and I'm going to be counseling for a couple weeks in August. In July, though, I will be taking summer school just to relieve my load of grade 12, because I've heard rumors that that might also be online. So I'm just trying to prepare myself to have as much time to have for schoolwork, especially online, since the load will be quite hard. School online is very different and very challenging for all the kids. So glad you all are keeping up. And in my free time, I've been reading and making lots of bracelets. So I really like string. And if anyone, wants to learn how to make a bracelet, I'm sure we could do something with like Sunday school or something like that. So yeah, that's how I've been spending my time here at home.
Thanks for joining the conference call worship service for Bayview United Church. The Sunday school is going to stay on and have lunch together. So if you want to stay on and have lunch with them, feel free to stay on. Otherwise, you could either hang up your phone or end your computer session. Thanks for joining. I think it was Zoom video worked out pretty well.